Thank you. Now we can get to hear what everybody's been listening about and what the project is. Before I do that, a few housekeeping items. One thing is, there's seats up front. Anybody that wants to stand, there's plenty of seats up front. There's water, complimentary water and soft drinks in the next room if someone gets thirsty and tired of listening to me. And I know I saw Congressman Cohen walk in the room somewhere. I don't know where he ended up being. Congressman, would like to say something? I'm more than happy to have the microphone and let me rest.
I want to thank Benny for this opportunity. I'm going to sit in the back and listen. And my purpose in being here is to listen. A great deal of the funds that go into this project come from the federal government. They come through earmarks and through appropriations and transportation committee. And I'm going to listen closely to the public's responses today, the public's input, and the RDC's responses, and hope that at the end of this meeting, or sometime soon, that the RDC and the public can be on the same page. I know that these people who are here, people here, are not necessarily representative of the entire public. They could be, but I saw a crowd similar to this on Saturday, so I know that they were. I saw you Saturday. You didn't belong there either. It was sometimes a group, even a large group, may not be representative. But this may be or may not be representative. But I know that you are all very interested in this issue, and it'd be my hope that the differences of opinion could be reconciled, and that would make it much easier for me to feel comfortable about continuing to fund this project. Thank you very much.
Thank Senator Kerr over here somewhere. Glad she's here also. And with that, we'll probably get on and talk about what the issue and why we're here. The Coastal Landing is listed on the National Historic Register of Historic Places since 1979 as part of the Park Road District. It's located on Riverside Drive, between Bill Street and Jefferson. Hopefully you know that or you wouldn't be here. But sadly, the cobblestones are filled in disrepair, and we know that, otherwise we wouldn't be here. And it's resulted in it's extremely unsafe walking conditions for parts of it. It's been all types of injuries, lawsuits, and even one death. The current walking surface creates a large barrier to pedestrian movement north and south. And the historic Cobblestone Landing Restoration and Walkway Project is intended to restore the landing by stabilizing and restoring the cobblestone field and also making certain accessibility and usability improvements. And now we'll talk about what it is and what we're doing. This is, hopefully everyone knows, this is the Cobblestone Landing. One thing you need to remember is it's a massive site. The length of this landing is the length of 6 football fields put end to end. It's a very large area. I think it's just short of being 8 acres in size, which is why it's so significant, why it's so important to this community. But it is extremely long. And things have changed. I mean, the cobblestone landing is here. This didn't used to be here. Cobblestones used to open up into the Mississippi River. This was all river. Now there's a navigable channel, which will complicate things a little bit as we go forward. And we'll explain that a little bit. And nothing against the Corps of Engineers, but this river has changed. This river is now deeper because it's navigable. And this channel here is now deeper than it used to be. And that's caused a lot of issues along the total slope. This bank isn't quite as stable as it used to be. And the cobbles connect the water a little differently than they did back in the 1800s. But we'll talk about that. And then here's our budget. We have $5.667 million federal dollars, and we got $1 million matching city funds. Our construction budget for this project is right at $6 million. Now, this doesn't quite match what you were showing before, the 6.2, and that's all because the federal dollars come down. There's federal set-asides and other things that Congressman could explain more than we could, so the amount that's announced is not what we actually end up getting. This is a number we actually get and can spend. Since the Coastal Landing planning to store it, you've heard about that, that's why there's a 106 process involved, and that's why we're here, and that's why we're having this public meeting. Here were the objectives we created at the beginning of the project, of what we were trying to accomplish. We were going to stabilize the lower and western edge of the cobblestone field. So the cobblestones that cause this, that are unraveling, as I keep saying, like a baby's blanket. The channel's getting deeper, the slope is sort of breaking off at the toe, and there's nothing there holding the cobblestones anymore. According to the Garrett report some years ago, there used to be a stone revetment dike that held that. It's no longer there. It's gone away because who knows why. Maybe because it's sloughed off. Maybe because it gets bridged out 50 years ago. Who knows? We don't know, but it's not there anymore. We want to restore the cobblestone field. The cobblestone field itself is not what it used to. It has holes. It has erosion problems. It has very uneven places. We want to improve the accessibility to the cobblestones, including those required by ADA. We want to remove and relocate overhead utilities. There's utilities there we'll talk about. We wanted to continuation improvements of the docking of the boat, make it easier for Captain Mugier and others, hopefully in the future, to tie up there and have the services they need to perform that. And we wanted to stop installation of interpretive signs that don't exist there now, so when the couple from Topeka come there and look at the tent at Riverside Drive and look down, they know what they're looking at and have some idea of what the significance and importance of that is. And the creation of Union Avenue Terminus centered on the Riverside Drive walkway above the cobblestone field. So that is our major street. That's a major connection to the cobblestone. There clearly needs to be some type of overlook there. And so this is sort of the proposed project. We'll talk a lot about this in the future. Just to give you some brief. The spacing was, in this picture and all future pictures, the light gray are basically the existing cobblestones as they are today. This project consisted of going below where the cobblestones existed, putting in some barrier to hold them in place, filling in behind that with some cobble-type material, and then providing access around the edges. And we'll talk about that later on, just enough to give you a framework. We're basically framing the existing cobblestones and making sure they didn't leave us. A little project history. The project was funded initially in the city of Memphis FY 2006 capital improvement budget, FY meeting before 2007. Planning contract was awarded in September 2006. The concept plan was presented to comment districts and interested parties in February 2008. The design contract was awarded in December 2008. Our phase one archaeological assessment was concurred with by SHPO in December 2008, and we're here today, August 11, 2009, trying to talk about all these issues. Existing conditions, just some pictures of what the cobblestones look like. This is not real low water, it's fairly low water. Cobblestones end about here. This is at the north end looking south. One thing to remember, beyond the fact that it's so massive, the river in Memphis fluctuates 57 feet up and down in any given year. Okay, so these things, the water pools as much as 140 feet away from them in some areas, and other times the water is all the way up to the wall off the top of them. So it's a lot of water fluctuation. This is sort of shows how a picture of boats docking now. I will end about here. This water slope changes. Talk a little bit about that. Another picture of cobbles. You see sort of what happens here. This is real physical. What occurs in a lot of places. This is the southern end. You see that there's a lot of deposition here, but there's also, even if the cobbles are fairly intact and tight, you get a lot of vegetation, a whole other issue to deal with. And this is showing some of the deposition. These are cobbles down here, and maybe as much as 3 or 4 feet of deposition on top of the cobbles that needs to be taken off, cleaned off, restored. Another picture looking south, looking north, again, this sort of deposition area. And back to, this is a mud flat, not a really good picture of, this is where you get a huge amount of deposition. It's about a 300-foot section here, and at low water, the cobble stops here, and the water is like 140 feet away from here at low water. And that's another issue we'll talk about. Again, it's another picture. The mud flat we talked about is an interesting thing. It's newly gumbo mud. This was a construction worker on Woodford Landing who was in that same mud flat, walked down to the edge of the mud flat. It's very, as water falls, it's a quagmire type material. It's not solid. You can't walk on it. So most of the year, even though you have this land connection to the cobbles, if your boat is here, you still can't get to the cobbles. They can't get across the sort of quagmire of mud that extends for 100 feet sometimes. And then the cobble slope, it's a cobble slope ranges from 6-1 to 7-1 all through the upper areas. When it gets down to a point here where the cobbles have disappeared, then it changes to a 3-1 slope, going down here to these boats. That gets a little interesting, especially as far as navigation goes, and we'll talk about that some in the future too. Again, another picture here. Here's a little remnant of a concrete walkway that was put in some years ago. Sort of very typical, the edge of the cobbles. You know, again, this is a 6-1 slope up here, and down here, this would be a 3-1 slope. Again, a picture of how Captain here currently docks his boat. Again, steep 3-1 slope, 7-1 above. Another picture. Awesome field. These cobbles, you put these cobbles there in incredibly good shape and smooth, you know, but that's because they're under a concrete base holding them together. We certainly aren't going to do that, okay? So don't expect it to look like this. It isn't going to. Picture of the surface of cobbles. There's a lot of places where asphalt, remnants of concrete, all kind of weird stuff on the cobble. We'll talk about how we're going to remove all of that off. Again, these are typical holes that exist all throughout the place for whatever reason. Some of it's probably because of docking of large boats and seats in the past. Some of it's erosion. Then you got utility. You got these wonderful poles sort of stuck in the middle of the house and landing, taking this wire down to, you know, very necessary. You know, Captain Blue's here needs the electricity, but we've got it, but that's not how we like to do it. Same way with water, that's not how we'd like to do it. This is way up in the middle of the cobble field, and that's not how we want to provide water or sewer or electricity in the future. Again, another picture of utilities. Now we'll talk about what our proposed solutions were to the objectives we mentioned before. Stabilization of this lower edge here. The cobbles are physically unconstrained. And there's all kinds of scouring, there's erosion, there's unraveling at the edge, and as it steepens, cobbles fall into the water. You know, we have to prevent that. We have to put something, this is existing cobblestone field, we have to put something there to hold the cobbles in place. That is where this came in. This is actually just a little concrete cobble wall that is needed to hold these cobbles in place. It's got a walkway attached to it. This walkway didn't hold the cobbles in place. This does. And then, when we put this in place, we have to hold this in place somehow. So we use what we propose, using a revetment armored bank here to stop erosion and hold this in place and hold this bank in place. This was using typical riprap underneath here, and on top of that, placing a smaller force of riprap, probably in a 3-4 inch size, so it's a much smoother surface and not the larger riprap that's used on Mud Island or Conley Park. And that was envisioned, I guess, in the Garrett report, and also some levee like this probably held the cobbles in place originally. This is a blow up, I'm sorry, should have gone to this slide too. This shows you exactly what it is. 3-1 rock, large rock, small stone on top here. Here's where existing cobbles stop. We put this to hold them. There's a walkway we'll talk about later, and that's what we're doing. And then the mud flat to the north. The existing cobblestone field terminates at one end at plus 11 on the Memphis gauge, and one end at plus 17. Sound like a big difference? Remember, this is 1,900 feet long. Even that distance there is acceptable to ADA as far as the crosswalk. It's a very slow, gentle slope through this area, even though it sounds like a lot. And low water is kind of interesting because you get this phenomenon, this mud flat here, and the water all includes 132 feet, in some cases 140 in others. And it creates something, again, the same situation here, this unwalkable, unapproachable mud flat. This picture here, is there a blow up of this? Yeah. This is sort of what happened. This is existing cobbles. This is the walkway we proposed and a little footing to hold it. This is our armored 3-1 slope. No, I'm sorry. This is This is Riverside Drive with the bluff wall. This is the cobblestones that exist now. This is where our walkway would be and our little retaining wall to hold it. We propose taking this mud flat out, putting in a 3-to-1 slope of riprap there that allows us the water at low water. The river is only, which was 140 feet away from here at low water now. This will bring the water much closer to the cobbles, be much more like it was originally probably, and be only 40 feet distance from here to the edge of the walkway at lowest water levels. This comes with, has its own set of issues here, has dredging issues, has a lot of other compounding issues, which needs to be a whole lot of discussion about this event. Restoration of cobblestone fields. This is the part that probably almost everybody in the room is going to be in agreement with, we think. The existing edge is extremely irregular, posing for the toe wall there. Below this existing edge, I think it'll blow up here. We're going to put a toe wall right here. You see the existing cobblestones. There's also holes to walk about here. What we're going to do is we're going to fill in. We'll take cobbles that we claim from down here below the water and fill in the holes that existed within the cobble field. We're also going to take above this toe wall walkway, we're going to fill in all the areas between the existing cobble fields and the cobbles that are there with historic cobbles that we've been able to reclaim up to a point. Maybe one out of those, we're going to use a concrete cobble that looks somewhat similar, but definitely looks totally different, so that someone's on here, they will know the difference between the old cobbles and the new cobbles. It'll have this, a neat cobble field of that look historic. And that's what this is talking about. I think I've talked through all of that. We did talk about east-west walkways back here. I also proposed 3 east-west walkways. Again, this is 6 football fields. These walkways are, in this case, a Babe Ruth home run apart, or more than a Babe Ruth home run apart. They're a long way apart. We propose putting 3 walkways in here to provide access from the existing steps and from the from Union Avenue, which is a new entryway. The cobble field has holes like this. Again, these will be filled with existing cobbles. We're going to cap off. It's going to be taken off. We're going to chip it away as best we can. And where possible, we're going to use mother solids to remove what's there and touch this point that we can. This says 88% of cobble field will be left intact as this day. I think that includes the part that asphalt, that are under the asphalt. I think it's actually 75% of the cobblestone field we're not going to touch. So if you go down there today and drive from one end to the other, you see a lot of dips and turns and everything else. We're not taking those up. We're not smoothing them. We're leaving them like they are. They probably were that way, or at least somewhat that way in the 1800s. We're repairing everything that's on there, or any fault, or any big depression. But as best we can, we're trying not to disturb the original cobbles that are there. Again, the asphalt will be taken away. I think we talked all about that. And if there's an environmental food solid we can agree on, we're going to use a solvent to clean the asphalt off of the cobbles. There's also a neat little river gauge down there. And we're going to, it's covered up at the end by a set of facilitation. We're going to clean that off. We're going to restore the river gauge. And we're going to do that in consultation with the State Historic Preservation Office and the use of the Ornamental Metal Museum. Same issue with these rings. There's 117 of these mooring rings down there. They're made out of 2 different types of metal. They're all going to be restored appropriately to the type of metal they are. Again, in consultation with the State Historic Preservation Office and with the use of Ornamental Metal Museum. And then accessibility. There are sort of uneven water surfaces. In fact, we talked about the walkways we talked about. They don't meet ADA accessibility standards in any way, shape, or manner. There's 2 sets of stairs now that exist at Monroe and Deoso. We propose to add another one at the end of Union Avenue right here. We'll talk about a plaza in a minute. That's 3 walkways at 1,900 feet. And walkways are consistent. Here's a picture in Paris, France. We have the unique historic landing. House was here and here where they actually made a walkway here. Maybe they need ADA, maybe they need something else, I don't know. But they felt like they need to break up their cobble fields with a walkway. Similar to maybe what we're doing. Again, there's three 10-foot wide walkways. They'll come down here, connected to existing stairs, the one new overlook we will add. This is what cross-section of the walkway, and for John Gary's point of view, this is a cut right through here. Draw a line right through here and look at the walkway. This is what you'll see. You'll see cobbles on either side of it. This walkway will be flush with the cobbles. It'll be made of concrete. It'll be colored very similar to the cobbles themselves. It'll be sandblasted. It'll blend in, but also look like it's not what was there originally. This also provides us a place to put some utilities. We remove the cobbles to put in this walkway. We will dig down, we will put the electric, water, and sewer in here under the three walkways in order to get the utilities underground to the folks and restaurants that may dock there in the future. We've heard a lot of people talk about different things on the walkway. Maybe I'll deviate a little bit and talk about, at one point people talked about granite stone there, and granite stone has its own set of problems. Cost is one, but that's not most significant. Our thought was, if we put granite stone in here to replace these walkways, when you have the couple from Topeka there, they're not going to know that wasn't original. They're going to think those granite walkways were there as part of the original cobblestone field. We don't think we need to put material there that looks like it could be part of the original construction. We've also heard people talk about wooden walkways there. You got to remember, on the slope, these wooden walkways are at times under 35 feet of water for 3 to 4 months at a time, and a lot of it underwater for 6 months at a time. We don't know any way to hold a wooden walkway down and make it usable to submerge for that period of time. We think that's virtually impossible. But again, here's the walkway flush with the utilities underneath in three locations. ADA was very difficult to deal with on this slide because you've got a 6-7-1 slope. How do you get people from the top to the bottom? We know that's very difficult to do. We were able to figure out a way to, we're adding a walkway at the bottom here, and this cross slope of this walkway meets ADA and also ties into Bill Street Landing, which all of Bill Street Landing is ADA and allows them back access back up to Riverside Drive and Tomley Park. But on the other end, we were able to create a way where we terrace the slope of Jeff Davis and provide a set of stairs and a connection here, but also provide some switchbacks that makes an ADA accessible path to get down here. What that does is that gives us an ADA accessible path from anywhere. If someone at the Welcome Center, they can go all the way down here, get to the water's edge, go to Guilford Landing, go to Tomley Park, and sort of enjoy our riverfront. And we thought that was an incredible thing to do. Again, this is a picture, a cut section of the walkway. Here's the walkway itself, ADA accessible. There's one thing on here that we're going to fight like heck to get rid of. You see a little edge rail here. Now, we understand by strict ADA regulations, you're required to have something here, but we also know this is a historic site. We think if people can talk about getting rid of walkways, when we can put them in, we certainly talk about getting rid of this edge rail here because we think that is a problem with both. We think it's also a trip hazard and heavily sin. It was put in there, again, hopefully somebody from City of Memphis here, it probably is, at the City of Memphis request in order to meet ADA regulations. We're going to try to solve that a number of different ways, and I may say several things that are completely incorrect today, but we're just trying to tell it like it is. Again, at the end of the three walkways, we thought there was an opportunity. First place, there's on this whole cobblestone field, it's not very, there's no way to put benches down there that are going to be underwater. We thought it'd be nice to somehow provide some place for people to sit. We have these great sunsets. So at the end of each of the three walkways, you provide a little, I think it's a 60 by 20 foot area at the walkway. It really consists of three steps to go out and wrap around. They're sort of seating steps. We thought that would give a chance for people to sit. We certainly expect a lot of discussion on those. Again, and one thing I didn't say is, these are our thoughts at this point, except for the fact of restoring the cobblestone field and maintaining it there. We think everything's on the table for discussion. We don't care. Someone comes up with a better way of holding the bank in place and riprap, and I told you before, if we can figure out a way to use bubble gum or baling wire, we don't care. We got to do it within some reasonable budget, and we got to do it in a way that looks, not too ugly and not too historically damaged. Again, here to blow up the sort of concrete steps to the top, again, to be visited. Relocation of utilities, we talked about that one already. We got the overhead utilities, we're putting them underneath the walkways. And just the mooring capabilities for the, we have a blow up of this. The boat exists there now. We are going to restore the existing rings here that certain to use. We're also going to install rings below that's there, and we've worked with Captain Logier to come up with what his needs are to allow him and others to tie up there in the best way possible to continue to use that site, and that's what's been incorporated into the design. Turf signs, we mentioned before, there virtually are none. There's one little sign that Davis Park. We think they need to be added to all the overlooks that are there in order to let people know what's there. This is just pictures of turf signs. Don't anybody critique the pictures, please. We have a design sign there. And then appropriate terminus at Union Avenue here. I mean, this is the Peabody, it's the ballpark. This is where a lot of people come down. This is how they first see the cobblestones from this bluff walk. I mean, it's a cobblestone walkway here. We're glad it's there. We propose a little plaza overlook. At one time, there was, some people may remember, the Ron Terry Plaza proposed. It was about twice this size. We have reduced that greatly. It's about half the size of it. It's got a little bitty low-level fountain that sort of provides some activity there. There'll be just a little viewing area here in the Union Avenue with stairs going down. Again, you see this is the walkway going all the way down to the water's edge. Interpretive signs would be here in order to explain people a place to gather, look, and understand what they're looking at. Blow up again, I probably shouldn't come to this anyway. Here's the fountain, the steps, the walkway. Okay. And then I'll go ahead and talk about some other alternatives we looked at. Maybe to get some discussion out of the way, and maybe not. One thing, we looked at in front of these buffers we probably would like. We actually did look at putting in a sheet pile wall along here to hold the bank instead of the riprap, which would have sort of really changed the slope. It was way too expensive. It was a number of $1 million. We didn't look at that very long at all. But we did look at extending the existing field out beyond where the walkway is. Maybe even having this walkway or not having this walkway, but having an extending field and maybe the cobble field or some material out there at the same general 6 to 7 to 1 slope. I mean, there's issues that creates. This is the footprint of the existing boats. Not any new boats we hope to get. Just the boats that are there now and never will be there. This is where they sit at low water. If we extended the existing slope out to zero on the gauge, this is where those boats would sit. These two lines here are the navigable channel. You see the boats are approaching almost out halfway to the thing. And if we went to -5 on the gauge, the boats go out farther. And if we go to -10 on the gauge, they even get farther out into the river. Okay? This creates a huge opportunity. If we weren't going to dock boats here, we could certainly carry the cobblestone field out at its current slope port. And the reason this is the case is, and you can't do this anymore, is because everything's changed. The river's no longer here. This is the harbor. Mud Island is here. We could move Mud Island out of the way, then we could certainly put the cobblestone back. The other thing I think we another thing, the reason we use, we use riprap around here is because we're going to riprap the bank down to a low level and be able to do it in the wet. If we wanted to recreate a ramp similar to what's at Mountain River Park, which is a nice ramp, 230, huge ramp, a building like 230 feet long, well, then you have to build a coffer down to dry it up to build. And that, I think the Mountain Ramp goes down to zero in the gauge, and then go down to 90 feet. And it stops way up, maybe 1 or 2 feet above zero. You have to build a huge coffer down like they did, and we priced that, and for $5 million, we can build a coffer down, and we can restore it, and we can build in the dry and pour a concrete ramp down here. But the coffer down costs $5 million plus the cost of the ramp. Okay, we don't know how we'd ever come up with that money. But that's an issue we did look at. We also looked at, and if you, even when you did that, the boats are out there in the center of the channel, and we don't think we could get Colonel Smith to approve that. One thing, another alternative we looked at, which this one is not totally formatted, but down here, this is that mud flat that exists at low water. We've heard a lot of issues and discussion of small water craft access, maybe small non-water craft access. Here, you probably have the opportunity to do something. Okay, maybe, and I'd like to hear discussion from the crowd today as people comment or think. Maybe there's certainly a way. You've got 300 feet here. You can do a lot of different things there. That you can like say, hey, you want me to dig both docks here? You're giving up that 300 feet and go out as far as you want to. You can continue out some surface, whether it be cobble, whether it be concrete revetment mat, whether it be concrete slab, some slope here, and provide some connection to the water at all times for community kayaks and boats of that sort. I don't know how large it needs to be. I know I saw Joe Royer here. He puts in 400 canoes and kayaks with race, and that ramp is like 30 feet wide. It certainly can be much longer than 30, maybe it's 100, maybe it's 200, maybe it's even 300, I don't know. But there's an opportunity here because you don't need anything for two reasons. One thing, this is a deposition area. You don't have to protect this bank here from erosion. I mean, this riprap, frankly, can stop here, and we don't do anything there. We can leave the mud flat like it is, which is maybe another option if people think that mud flat is somehow access to the water and also makes our dredging issue. Way. We can leave that like it is, but that is something we sort of like to listen to the discussion of. But with that, I think I've talked about everything we're going to talk about. I'm sure I forgot something. But I think we're going to open up to question and answer now because I know you'd like to talk, and I sure want to stop talking.